Hello and welcome to the AV Forums Gaming Podcast for the month of Feb. I am, of course, Steve Hill. And joining me as always is Mark Bottrier. Hello, Mark.
Good evening, Steve.
How are you?
A little bit of man flu, to be honest.
I was going to say, you're sounding a bit hoarse there, mate.
Yeah, a little bit.
A bit sexy.
As well.
A bit sexy. Can you do that whole Boyz II Men thing? Hey, baby. It's been a long time coming.
You were doing a pretty good job yourself there, mate. We could be the AV Forum's barbershop quartet, actually.
Let's not try that.
Might be the next place to take it. Also joining me is Noel Gill. Hello, Noel.
You alright, mate?
You came back for a second episode.
Can't keep me away, can't.
And also joining me is his twin brother, Steve Carter. Hello, Steve.
Good evening. The Northern Takeover is beginning.
See ya. The revolution begins.
This is going to be slightly interesting. I think I'm going to have to put out subtitles with this pod. I think that might be a technical
first. We'll
do
a rough translation guide for you.
I didn't understand a word of that. Also joining me is Leon Matthews. Hello, Leon.
Hello, still here.
How's things going?
Yeah, not too bad. Surviving this horrific weather.
Are you flooded in your area? I forget where you base yourself.
No, I'm like in the Midlands, so we're actually all right. But yeah, you know, reading stories of people floating along in their houses and stuff.
All the way to Skip.
That's nearly as bad as my Boyz II Men impression now.
Well, I'm not having that. As you can hear, I'm a little bit croaky as well. Fellas, just got back from a stag do in Barcelona. I think that's it. I think I'm done. I'm calling time on all stag do's going forward.
The stag do to end all stag do's, was it?
I wouldn't say it was necessarily that epic, but it was. I'm basically best man, and the groom to be is a stuntman. So all of his mates were stuntmen as well. So
that's a high bar.
They had stamina to just keep going and going and going.
You got the odd one out.
And basically, long story short, I'm going to let you guys do all the talking this month because I just cannot be asked. Nintendo, Mark, your area of expertise. It looks like Nintendo sales forecasts have been cut and shares are tumbling and buyback schemes this and restructuring that. It all looks a bit doom and gloom.
Yeah, well, this was basically all from the sales forecast cut for annual sales of the Wii U from 9 million down to 2.8 million, which is a hefty cut. And it was always on the cards. I mean, no one assumed that they would hit the 9 million, but obviously after that happened, share price tumbled because people got a little bit spooked by this bad news. So they've put in place a bunch of things, a buyback scheme for the shares, and there's talk of restructuring and trying to work on bringing different branches together, so to have more convergent OS and things like that, to basically kind of marry in the streams of handheld and home console, because it's clear they're still dominating the handheld sphere. You know, they're still number one there, and they don't look to be knocked off their perch anytime soon. So it's a question of also how they can get a suitable amount of software out for both. Because, I mean, third-party support for the Wii U has been terrible. And so it would make sense for them to build some kind of, you know, weird hybrid device or something that they could, you know, you could play different types of games on. Now that you've got, say, Sony moving into things like the Vita TV, you know, and you can stream games on your Vita from your PS4 and the like. It seems like kind of convergence is going to be the key word going forward. They've said they're not going third party though, so they're not just going to kind of back out of the hardware business altogether. But it does pretty much look like the Wii U is going to be dead in the water. I mean, it's kind of on course to hit somewhere around perhaps the GameCube levels of sales, which is, you know, poor to say the least.
Mate, you sound terrible. Were you on my stag do in Barcelona?
No, it's just terrible, terrible man flu, you know, but I'm bearing up here, you know.
Let's put ourselves in the position of, let's put ourselves on the board. How do you fix Nintendo?
I think they've got to start selling the games on other consoles. I know it's a very, very bold thing, but like Sega did, Sega admitted defeat with the consoles. They scrapped it and just, I mean, Sonic's still dead in the water since, you know, the Mega Drive days. He's still not having a good time on other consoles, but I think Nintendo, with Mario, Mario's a much more successful franchise than Sonic.
If they, but how many Mario games are we talking at this point as well, going back?
On the, in the entire lifetime, or
yeah,
just on
that
the
they
Wii
could
U
potentially
or
monetize.
I think seriously, if they did, I mean, I had a GameCube and I had Super Mario Sunshine, and that was an absolute brilliant game.
It's a great
game,
wasn't it? Fantastic.
Exactly.
Game.
If they made another Super Mario Sunshine, that'd sell by the bucket load. And you know, these things like, you know, Super Mario 3D World and Galaxy, if they were on, say, you know, Xbox, PS3, you know, even not even the next generation consoles, say, from the 360 and the PS3, I think you get a lot of interest. People saying, oh, you know, Nintendo games can be played on my 360, on my PS3 now. I think that'd still generate a massive financial boost for Nintendo, because like they've seen with the Wii U, you've just got to wonder what is next for Nintendo. What could they possibly do that would rival the PS4 or the Xbox One? Because I don't think they've got the power behind them to generate as much interest in the console.
Well,
now this is
all their gear always feels like cheap tat.
Yeah,
Don't
wind him up. He's
I may
got
be
Manfred,
dying
wind
here,
him up.
But I'm not going to let that slide.
The Wiimotes and all of the Wii stuff. I mean, I admittedly I've not been hands on with the Wii U, but all the Wii accessories and the console itself and the cheap nasty stand.
Sorry,
I'm doing
sorry,
inverted
wait,
commas.
No, sorry, but the console itself, I would bet money that the failure rate of the Wii is so infinitesimally small in comparison to 360 and PS3. Straight away, they build hardware to last. You know, if anyone's got a SNES, that still works.
Maybe I was being a little bit harsh, but I think my point is that they haven't felt like a premium product for a long time, even though the Wii was very, very popular. It never felt particularly high end or, you know, like a luxury product. But anyway, we're still kind of digressing from the point I was trying to make. I mean, we were talking about the back catalogue of Mario games, and it must be like, I don't know, 15 odd games, Mark, would that be right? Just on Mario alone?
That sounds like a question for Wikipedia.
Okay, well, anyway.
Are we asking how many games Mario's been in? Because I was looking
just
that up.
How many games? I'm just interested to know how many titles
way
that
more
one
than
character.
15.
35.
Way more than that. I didn't 65. Actually count. The list was too long. Like, we're talking probably near 100 or something.
Really? Yeah.
It was loads.
Well, I mean, that back catalogue is not going up in value. Do you see what I mean? It's not as if that is maturing and, you know, they can cash it in any time. You know, the longer that goes,
you got a couple of problems with that, with going third party, which is, first of all, no one knows exactly what kind of a cut they'd have to take from, you know, like for the hardware manufacturer whose hardware they appear on, so they would take a slice out of it. So perhaps, in fact, it's worth more to produce, you know, a game for your own console and get 100% of it than, you know, a lower portion on someone else's console. Then you've got the small problem, which is, if you appear on someone else's console, you have to market the product correctly, which Nintendo haven't done for the best part of 20 years. You know, they've been spectacularly poor at that.
Well, this is my next point, is I think they need a partner. I think they're clearly too big a fish for someone else to come and buy them outright. So they need a partner, like maybe Amazon, like maybe Blizzard, someone who is much more in touch with gaming or the retail space of today, and to help them be more agile and embrace where technology and social media and social gaming has gone, because that is where they lack so massively for me.
No, they have said that they will go look at mergers and acquisitions now, so that's a bold step for them.
Mm. But just the back catalogue as well for me is that if you could come up with some kind of platform, which let's say for example it was on iOS or Android, and it was some kind of subscription thing where they were putting new games on there all the time. I mean, if Mario literally has had as many as 100 titles, and let's say, you know, 75% of them are completely throwaway, you know, that's still 30 odd titles that a gamer's really going to enjoy. That's lots of content that you can put out there, all the Zelda games that could go in there, because these games are not going to earn you any money elsewhere or anything going forward unless you do something with them now.
I think the worry is potentially kind of almost like brand fatigue. That if you look at the evolution, say, of you know, a particular franchise like Mario, the graphics aren't getting so spectacularly, you know, that much better for each jump, you know, and the gameplay often revolves around the same thing. So a little bit like, you know, how people are a little bit sick of, say, Call of Duty or something, that at least has a multiplayer element to it. You know, Mario is something where, you know, the fundamentals stay pretty similar, other than, say, something like Galaxy, you know, with motion control. So would the original ones, you know, like the kind of, you know, monochrome ones on the Game Boy, would they still sell? I mean, they're still fantastic games, but yeah, they'd have to find some way to probably sell them.
Yeah, fold them into some kind of subscription service where people would probably pay the money for the premium titles, and the older ones, there's still that nostalgia factor. You know, they'll still take it and still see it as a nice, attractive thing to have, but not necessarily pay £2 by itself to get. I can see I'm being maybe a bit too ambitious with this one for you guys, but I just see that as a way for them to get some money in, make some money out of that back catalogue, and move on. I don't think anyone really cares that much about Mario or Zelda going forward on the next gen consoles. I think Nintendo need to get together with someone like Blizzard and say, look, you know, we've got all these kind of gameplay ideas and stuff, but we need to work out a way to get it to the online world, to get it to everyone, you know, and do something that way, do something different that way.
The thing is, I don't think it's money. I don't think money's a problem. They are sitting on God knows how much cash. They could have like 5 Wii U's and they probably wouldn't dent them. The thing is, it's relevance, I guess. I don't know. When I think of Nintendo,
You really think you could have 5 failures like a Wii U?
Okay, 5. I reckon they could do quite a lot. They're very, very cash rich at the moment, aren't they, after the Wii? They've made a lot of money. It's just that no one's picking up their console and they're losing relevance. You've got to think now, this generation has lasted a long time. There are children now who are just getting into gaming who Nintendo means virtually nothing to them, I would assume. Like, because the Wii, it had some good titles on it, but that was a while ago now. So if they're getting into gaming now, I mean, there are some good titles on the Wii U, but they're just not out there. It's just not at the forefront. It's something that someone has to like tell them about or really get them into. It's not something they'd probably walk into a shop and be like, oh yeah, I'll get the Wii U because it's got all of these great games on it. The question I would ask Mark is, do you think Nintendo are still good at making new experiences, or are they just really good at reinventing their old ones?
I would have said good at making new experiences, except for the fact that the gamepad it's been woefully used. You know, for something that I'd always argued that Nintendo kind of designed consoles around their own first party developers, like what they wanted to see. Like, you know, if Miyamoto wanted 3D, then they'll build a console around what their creative minds, the game makers, are actually thinking. But the gamepad, I just expected it to be used in some manner. But you know, to kind of play, you know, Mario 3D World, the best use for it is just as a screen in itself, so you can be watching TV, and that's just it's not worth the price for that.
And that's the thing, it costs so much. I mean, I know on the forums there are loads of people who said I'd get a Wii U if it was £150 or if it was £200 maybe, but at the price it's at,
am I calling to buy
£250 out of They can still get 2 versions, can't you? You can still get the basic and the premium one. So it depends on who you get.
What's the difference between them?
The premium one's black and has more internal memory, and the basic one's white and has less memory.
And you get a little stand.
And you get the little stand to charge the pad on with the premium one.
£250 for the premium.
So it's still a decent sum. If you think for £70 more, £70 more you could get a PS4.
And do we think at this point another price cut might help it out, or is it done? Is it dead in the water? Back to the drawing board?
It
helps. If you think, though, the 3DS, when they cut the price of that flew out of the shop like nobody's business.
It's a self-fulfilling prophecy at this point, though, isn't it?
Still selling very well as well, the 3DS,
Exactly.
There's no games, guys.
Well, I know it's part of the games, but I reckon that price drop would help.
Yeah, but at what point does it become the kind of, you know, the arm with frostbite that you just have to sacrifice? Because they've already said that because of the cost of manufacturing it, you know, a price cut will just mean, you know, they'll be selling it at a loss.
Yeah.
Which already, if you consider, well, you're not going to, you know, sell enough even towards the end of its lifespan. By the time it gets to the end of its lifespan, if they carry on to, you know, kind of 7-8 years or something, we're going to be well into the era of, you know, streaming gaming and potentially even starting to look at like 4K games or something, you know, stuff like PlayStation Now will be so established. you know, it just seems like a long way if you think that hardware is going to last.
Maybe they should start investing in stuff like that instead. Maybe have a Nintendo box and stream all the games in the future. Cut out the console.
That's blue sky thinking there, Steve.
Well, I was about to say, so my fellow board members are clearly not into my idea of monetizing the old back catalogue on iOS or something like that. So are we united in saying it's got to be new hardware, it's got to embrace streaming, new tech like possibly 4K, because that, let's face it, that's what we need, Mario Sunshine in 4K.
Is it? Is it though?
Well, that was meant slightly tongue-in-cheek.
This is my point. Like, Nintendo, I don't know. I honestly don't know what they should do. They have, the thing is, they have, like, some of the best properties in the entire business. They're like the Disney of video gaming. So how they aren't making themselves more relevant in this day and age.
Well, there was all those rumours that Disney were potentially looking at them to buy, but the kind of money it would take would just be, you know, big, you know, big amounts even for someone like Disney. But it does seem like a match made in heaven, though, doesn't it? Mark, I gather you've written a little article for the site just summing up the Nintendo situation and where the future might lead them.
Yes, and I'm a lot more optimistic than it sounds in my man flu state. I still see there being a very kind of bright future for the company.
So it looks like Amazon are starting to delve into potentially developing games. They've just bought Double Helix, the developer of Killer Instinct. Leon, what's the story on this one?
Yeah, that's pretty much all she wrote, really. Amazon moving towards, I think they said they're trying to bring out an actual games console, aren't they? Or there's a rumour of that. And this is, I guess, putting more credence to that. They've picked up Double Helix, who have done a brilliant job on Killer Instinct, and all of the fans online immediately went, no, because we've been waiting for this, all the Killer Instinct patches and all the characters. But in reality, Season 1's kind of nearly done. They've just put in Spinal, and we've got another character coming in March, I think it is.
Sorry, did you say Spinal?
Spinal, yeah. He's like a skeleton with a big shield with, what's that big octopusy thing that everybody hates?
You're selling it, yes.
Oh, God, my mind's going completely blank. But yes, it's Spinal. He's an old character, and they've got Fulgore coming as well, which is another iconic character. So they've done a really good job. I mean, Killer Instinct has been
Fulgore,
yeah. He's like a think Terminator / Cylon.
Right. Like Eagle, but Fulgore.
Yes. But he's pretty awesome, to be fair, and which is why they've kept him till last. But basically, Double Helix have done a really good job. It's been way more well received than I think most of us thought it would be. And I think the fighting game community has really got into it. It's actually a good fighting game. Oh my god, sorry. 2 seconds. I need to stop and think of what's that thing that's on his shield. Can we play some sort of music? I know I've just completely stopped everything. But
we could revive our Amazon Kindle game console gag. I can't remember where we left it last time.
Oh yeah,
I remember my pun. Okay, the Amandroid is on Kintendo.
No way, Cthulhu. Cthulhu. That's what's on the front of his shield.
What Cthulhu. The hell is Cthulhu?
Oh my god.
You don't know what Cthulhu is?
It's like a deep, dark hole of not knowing what things are. Cthulhu? No? Nothing?
Yeah.
Yeah, Niall's got my back.
Is it not?
There we go.
Cthulhu?
No, it's Cthulhu. I'm saying that right?
Yeah, yeah. I'm on Cthulhu. I'm on that side.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We're talking Lovecraft here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always thought it was pronounced with a ch.
But it's no A in it at the beginning, is it?
No.
What's
that? So I'm going to be 100% sure.
I'm going to go reread my comics.
But anyway, yeah, that's what's on Spinal Shield, who is a character in Killer Instinct, who Amazon have just bought the developer Double Helix. Microsoft is assuring everybody that everything is fine. They say that the team that is at Microsoft making Killer Instinct are still there, and they are still have the series in safe hands. So I guess we just have to wait and see, because there is meant to be a season 2 with more characters and stuff. So we'll see how much Double Helix's exit really affects it.
It's probably just so Amazon can bring like the backstories to the Kindle store. You can read up on Fulgore and Cthulhu.
Spinal.
You know, and what adventures they all get up to together.
Well, it is interesting. I mean, they've got a game developer now, so I guess they'll be making some sort of
exclusive game. Speculate. What do you think? What
are Double Helix up to? Well, if they've got any brains, they'll be doing another fighting game because that's what was actually well received. But a fighting game doesn't really strike me as a game to put on a new console to draw people in. Who knows? It could be something completely different, or maybe it's more just general stuff, like, you know, engines and just the know-how and getting the information. I really don't know, but it'd be interesting to see what Amazon do.
So everybody's favourite first-person shooter, Call of Duty, is going to switch to a 3-year development cycle. Unfortunately, that doesn't mean the game's only going to come out once every 3 years. It instead means a third studio's coming on board. Is that right, Steve?
As far as I've read up on it, yeah, that the is it the guys? I've forgotten the name.
Sledgehammer,
that's the one. They're coming on board to produce another one. And initially, when I read the story, I was quite excited by it, because, you know, everyone says 3-year development cycle for Call of Duty, and think, thank God for that.
Not did everyone Call think Duty that as year. Well?
Yeah, and then you read on a little bit, and it says there's just going to be one developer 1 year, then another developer another year, then another developer another year. And then further down the article, they said it's basically so they can focus more on the DLC and the micro DLC, because that's the bit that everybody's interested in.
Yeah,
and everyone's that. Like, fantastic. No, it's not. It's really not. And the best thing that could happen to the Call of Duty franchise is if the 3-year cycle was simply there'll be a Call of Duty 3 years, then another 3 years there'll be another Call of Duty, another 3 years there'll be another Call of Duty. In my opinion, that's how even probably Battlefield should be and Call of Duty should be, because then you wouldn't feel like you're wasting money, spending a lot of money on extra maps, extra content, just to spend all the same money again in a year's time. If you said, right, we're going to have 3 years worth of content until the next one comes out and look at what we've done and massively improve the game, then I think they'd pull a lot of the audience back, because I don't know if it's just me, Ghost was absolutely awful. I tried that for a little while and it was absolutely terrible. Online is just a massive camp fest. You can't even move around a corner without just getting shot instantly. And it's just, and even the story, the story is just utter tosh. It is absolutely ridiculous.
So you've called time on it. Leon, I know you were enjoying it. Have you knocked it on the head since, or have you still dip your toe in every now and then?
I wear my Call of Duty patch on my sleeve proudly. I don't care. Everybody hates it. And you know what? Sometimes I hate it too. But I will go back all the time. It's like my baseline. If I get tired of gaming, I just go back and I play Call of Duty. I can play Call of Duty all day. I don't know what it is. I just like that sort of fast twitch pace shooter. They've released a patch recently which brought back in Gun Game from Black Ops 2. Which is amazing, and that's like my favourite game mode ever, because it's basically what Steve doesn't like. People can't camp in it. It's a race to the top of a gun tree.
It's a ladder game, isn't it? Right.
Yeah, it's basically shoot with a pistol, get a shotgun, shoot, kill someone with a shotgun, get a submachine gun, and so on and so forth until you win the game. So that's the fast-paced Call of Duty that I like. But as far as the 3-year development cycle goes, I don't know. It's probably a good thing, because it means that, you know, studios don't get burnt out. But like I said in my Ghost review, the big problem with Call of Duty having all these studios, which they do at the moment, like Treyarch and Infinity Ward, they don't actually work together. It's like, in fact, it's almost like they're working against each other. Like, Treyarch will do something. They'll do Black Ops 2, which is great. They'll have Gun Game in it. They'll have wager matches in it. They'll have all these little extra bits in it, the fire and all that sort of stuff. And then Infinity Ward will come along and go, well, we don't want to use any of that, because we apparently don't like Treyarch, so yeah, we're going to change
those guys did that.
Yeah, we're going to change the Dolphin Dive to a slide just because we can, and we're going to cut out Wager Match because we don't want that, and we're going to give you Extinction or whatever, or we don't like zombies, so we'll do our own twist on it. And it's just like, someone needs to just sit them down like two kids in a playground and go, right, stop playing, stop messing around, and just work together.
Do you reckon who's the eccentric guy head of Activision, is it Bobby
Kotick?
So you reckon he has a big, like, kind of Playboy Mansion style party every year, and the Treyarch boys, they all kind of go in their corner, and the Infinity War boys will go in their corner, and then once they've had a few drinks, someone, you know, will inevitably kind of cross a divide and
Call of Duty 3 was shit.
But there'll be a scuffle, and it'll be like, you say something.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it's something like that. Who knows? We don't know, but the internet likes to think it's that way. And to be honest, from playing the games, it kind of seems that way. Like, the smart money would be on to build on year, you know, add things to the game, not arbitrarily remove things or completely ignore what was popular in the last game just because your studio didn't make it. So who knows whether Sledgehammer are going to do a similar sort of thing.
Well, it all seems like a bit of a business cliche, isn't it? You kind of read it in the CEO Bible, you know, always make sure you have kind of three top members of staff and they're all kind of competing against each other and backstabbing each other, you know, to keep it fresh and keep them hungry.
But it's not Thunderdome.
Maybe it should. That's what the next Call of Duty should be. We just get to watch all three developers just beat the shit out of each other.
I think they have to keep, like, cynically, honestly, I think they know it's on a downward trend. So, Steve, you might be right. Everybody wants it to be 3 years and let's have a massive leap. But for them, they want to keep that cash coming in as often as they can before the series dies.
Add a full studio, make it every 6 months.
Hey man, if they could get away with it, I'm sure they could. Seriously,
Bobby's next weeks. Move, the master. Every 6 weeks, let's do it.
The blood is in the water, man. Like, Battlefield is stepping it up, although it's still kind of broken. Like, that could have taken the crown. But Titanfall, if that's not broken when it comes out, man, that's aiming right at the heart of Call of Duty. So, you know, they need to churn them out. It's going to be very interesting to see what the next Call of Duty is like and if Titanfall can knock it off the spot or not.
This story caught my eye. I didn't know whether it was that interesting, but it's kind of a bit, what's the word, should we say, cheeky. Noel, Dungeon Keeper from EA, they've been cooking the books?
It's a huge drama at the minute. The internet would have you believe it's a huge drama anyway, but it's the mobile market. It happens all the time. The story is that if the new Dungeon Keeper, it's pretty much just a cash farm. It's awful. That's pretty much it.
Lots of microtransactions and
definitely, yeah. And it'll take you about 3 hours to do one thing, but obviously you can pay for it to be done now. But the thing that has got everyone riled up is if you try to give it anything below a 5-star score, it'll send you to a different screen. So if you try and give it a 4, it'll send you to an email screen saying, give us your email and we want to get in contact with you why you didn't like this. But if you just gave it 5 stars, it'd just register that score and that'd be it. They'd never ask you for it again. So people think this is a bit underhanded of a tactic, but it happens quite a lot in the mobile market. It's not a rare thing.
What, in terms of app reviews or specifically game reviews?
Yeah, no, in terms of the obviously there's a pretty much an over reliance on that star sort of system, but it does happen a lot where there's a game and you have to give it a 5 to progress. If not, it'll just keep asking you, or it'll send you to a different screen if you don't give it 5. And it's not something that is brand new to the mobile market, which is why it's quite confusing that it's been such a furore about Dungeon Keeper. But obviously it's EA Mobile, and Pitchfork came out as soon as Dungeon Keeper was pretty poor. It's a beloved franchise, obviously, but it's quite old now. So it's quite shocking that it's been attacked. The size of it, how it's been attacked.
EA's response, I thought, was quite funny. Anyone?
Yeah, we have 4.5 stars on the market. So explain that.
Not only that, it's just like, you know, we want an open forum for people to be able to give us feedback. You know, it was just a massive kind of deflection of the whole issue.
Definitely, yeah. But no, it's. I think Dungeon Keeper has become a bit of a scapegoat at the minute, because if you go on any sort of major gaming website that covers mobile markets, you will get, oh, Dungeon Keeper's done this today and EA have done that today, and it is becoming that sort of regular, it is the flavour of the week, really.
And people do love to hate EA.
Oh, definitely, yeah. But the fact is, the mobile market hasn't really been an exemplary force in making good games pretty much ever, and for some reason it's just been pushed to the forefront now that Dungeon Keeper's poor. Which is confusing, but
why do these microtransaction games survive? Why do people download them, buy them, and pour money into them? You say, I've never played one myself, I've never picked one up, I've no interest in them. But there must be something there of value for gamers to pick them up and play them, shouldn't there?
I think the mobile market is probably the most casual market you'll get. People who don't even consider themselves to play video games will buy these games. And it is, obviously, you've got to remember that it is, the majority are probably kids. That's why you've got these sort of Farmville games, these sort of Simpsons tapped out games, making the money they do. But yeah, I think that the casual aspect of it means that people aren't really that well informed about it. They just assume that these are, this is normal maybe in video games.
But I'm just intrigued at how they make you feel like it's fun. Make you feel, even you, well, were a, yeah, kid of 14, you know, what makes you think, oh, I've got to have that, you know?
Yeah, I've got to sit around for 3 hours and watch this imp minor wall.
Is that what happened?
Honestly,
is that what the game,
yeah,
is?
Yeah, I think to mine a wall, it takes like 3-4 hours, and you either sit there and watch it, or you pay God knows how much.
I don't get it. This is a platform where you can get Minecraft for exactly the same money and just do that stuff all day long.
Yeah, so it's a confusing one. I can't claim to understand it because I have no idea why people would buy it and continue to buy it, but it's making money, obviously, so as long as it keeps making money, I guess I'll just keep doing it.
My son plays Tap the Frog and those kind of games on the iPad. He's only 4 now, so I never pay money for his games. It's always the free versions. And every so often he'll go, Dad, something's happened. And of course it's the screen that's popped up to push through a microtransaction, or, you know, buy more stars, or buy more stars so you can buy clothes for your frog in game that do nothing.
Who
anyway.
Wouldn't do that?
I think, to be honest, the mobile market pretty much devalued stars anyway. Like, there isn't a single free game that I've downloaded that I've genuinely thought, oh, 5 stars, this must be great. You know, it just seems like page upon page of 5-star games. And the fact that this was EA, so, you know, something people were waiting for one company to kind of make an example of. And it's kind of no fun making fun of some, you know, kind of, I don't know, East Asian developer who's made something out of his bedroom.
Small
or
fish,
something like,
yeah,
that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Whereas if it's like EA, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, open season. You ever been offered a bribe to up your score on Summit, Mark?
No, but I'm open and willing.
Box of Sudafed would probably see you.
Good LMSIP. Yeah, jump at LMSIP right now.
Actually, yeah, I'm running out of Strepsils, honey and lemon lozenges, and as well.
I was going to say what flavour, yeah.
It's Potter's Herbal Cough Mixture as well. That'd be nice.
Anyone playing Flappy Bird?
Have you seen that's come out today about people selling the phones with it on because it's been deleted off the store?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My word.
How much is a phone with it pre-installed?
Right. Don't say anything. Guess how much somebody bought a phone with Flappy Bird.
What phone is it?
It's a lot more than you probably think.
I think it was an iPhone 4S or an iPhone 5 or something like that. Have a guess. Just
if it's more than 200 quid, someone needs a slap.
£3,000.
What?
Yeah. What?
No.
And they're going as well, aren't they?
Yep.
I think they're selling.
They are selling at £3,000 for a phone. I'll tell you what, if somebody walked past me and said, you've got Flappy Bird, I'll give you £3,000 for your phone. I'd say, here you go, give me your money.
Hang on a sec, let's dial it back. I've never even heard of Flappy Bird until this came along.
Oh,
seriously?
I don't play games on
mobile devices.
Niall,
so
sounds like he's still addicted to it.
Fill me in.
I am obsessed with it. Me and the girlfriend have a bit of competition going on, and she's in a terrible mood at the minute because I've doubled the score.
You
Which is
what's it similar to? Explain the gameplay to me.
It's do you remember those helicopter games on PC where if you press the space bar, your helicopter would rise a little bit, and if you didn't press anything, your helicopter would dip a little bit, and you had to avoid the obstacles in your way.
Right. I think the last time I played something like that, I was probably about 8 years old.
Yeah, exactly. That's why it's such a shock that it's so popular, because that sort of game has been out for ages. But it is that same idea, the helicopter game, where you just have to avoid obstacles, and however many obstacles you get past, that's what your score is.
Right.
So I've got, my top score is 60, so that means I've just
60
obstacles. Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Well, is that good? Or
I got 6.
It's 10 times as good then.
Exactly. By obstacles, we mean Mario Green Pipes as well.
Oh yeah, it's straight
it
out
is
Mario.
Just Mario
it's
Green
ridiculous.
Pipes, up and down. All the way through, and like basically, it's just a side-scrolling thing like Mario as well.
So it's not a good game by any stretch of the imagination. It is such a Well, it's terrible to me.
Well, to me, it just seems like any other game that kind of would be on there, except this one, for some reason, is phenomenally popular that no one can put their finger on.
Yeah.
So the developers pulled it. Has he explained why he's pulled it? Or?
It was because of screw you, internet, basically.
It was fed up of people bugging him about it.
I don't understand. He's making money, no?
There was an interview today where he said that he was upset that people were getting addicted to his game.
Yeah, that's what Which he I'm said, not, but it was just basically, yeah, I'm taking my sure ball and I'm going home.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's made
his making money,
off.
Right?
50k a day.
He's still making money. Yeah, he's
50
still
grand a day.
Money.
So how can he still be, well, is he selling iPhones with it pre-installed?
Yeah.
No, the ads are still playing on, if you've got the game already installed, you'll still get all the ads playing on the game you've got.
I
so
see.
So he's still going to be making
I see,
a
right.
fair packet from it.
I see. But I see. It just seems strange to me. If you're making money, why would you care?
Because the internet went nuts.
Yeah, he was getting a lot of views on Twitter and all this sort of stuff.
Apparently, somewhere, Bobby Kotick is just shaking his head, going, "Young fools."
What I don't, yeah,
Call of Duty Flappy Birds. That's what's going to happen.
But who makes 50 grand a day and still signs up to Twitter?
Yeah, that's true.
I don't understand it.
Hey, you promised you were signing up to Twitter before Christmas, didn't you?
I said I'd consider it.
You said you were doing it. We're all waiting.
We have evidence
listen,
of this.
Listen, if you've been on the forum, if you've been on the forum at all, you might have seen Mark's changed his avatar to Sam Allardyce. And I made the comment last month. His avatar on Skype here, he looks like a young Sam Allardyce. And it didn't make the edit last month. But if you ever hear me refer to Mark as a young Sam Allardyce, that's why. So I can just picture Bobby Kotick right now thinking, hey, here we go. This could be the fourth studio on the Call of Duty cycle.
Bird with guns, you know. Yeah. Ducking in and out of
power. Space bar to go up, space bar to go down.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm missing out now. Fella,
should
I go drop?
It was like Cookie Clicker was.
No, it's not. Have you got an Android phone?
Oh god, I'm not even bothering installing it again.
just Google it. You can get the APK for Flappy Bird if you really try.
I want to drop $3,000 on an iPhone. Can I?
Oh god.
Maybe you're the sort of person that would. How many Xboxes did you buy?
Leon, how's your Xbox One?
It's great. It's waiting for an update.
An update which was due this week, I believe.
It was due today.
Today,
they
so
said.
So how is it?
And where is it?
How is it? Well, is Major it? Nelson woke up this morning and he had a little note on his desk that said, could you please tell the internet that update's not going to happen? And he went, oh.
So he stopped tweeting the dude that makes Flappy Bird and actually put something of interest
basically
out.
But yes, there was meant to be an update. A week ago, they started blowing trumpets and going, don't worry everybody, all that stuff that you hate about the Xbox One, our party system, the fact there's no battery indicator, the fact you can't see your storage and stuff, we're going to fix all that. One an update on February the 11th, and then the other one is a standby or prepare for Titanfall update, which is a bit too synergistic for my liking. But yes, the small update today was meant to come out and it hasn't come out. They've said it'll be out by the end of the week, so I guess it's not really a big deal. But that one is meant to do a few little bits and bobs, like I say, battery icon, storage management. It splits out my games and apps so that you can pick which installs first and you can manage them separately and stuff.
Are people crying out for this? Is there disappointment that it was delayed? What's the general feeling on the forum there?
Indignation. I don't know. It's kind of a bit weird to sort of pass because there are people who are just like, this is I think people are more disappointed that it's Microsoft again messing the internet around.
Yeah.
Like, all you got to do is, especially this sort of update, I put it in a post today. I was like, why bother telling us when it's out? Who needs to know that it's going to be out in a week?
But that's always used to be the way. You turn on, there's an update.
Update.
You install it.
Yeah, pleasant surprise. Oh, they've added some stuff. That would have been a win for Microsoft. Instead, they've managed to turn it into another loss by going, don't worry, guys, in 7 days, start counting, start talking about it, let's get this hype going. Yeah. And then
it's
silence.
Like you're one shade away from calling it, you know, Mountain Lion or something, you know, Killer Whale or something ridiculously daft like that. And one thing that caught my eye as well, I was reading it, apparently there's some surprises in there. What does it mean? I mean, what is that?
Surprise, it's late.
I honestly don't know. Again, I would, if I was them, I'd just keep my mouth shut at this point. I'd say nothing, and one day I'd flick a switch and it'd be on and everybody would be all excited. The internet would explode because their update has come on and they've got a battery icon now and they can see storage now. And
back in the day, we used to wake up to the forum and someone would be like, "Ah, I've got an update," and everyone log on and there it would be, and you know, you'd say, "Oh, brilliant, that was it," and the excitement would be over.
Yeah, but like Mark said, a lot of the comments are just, hang on, what? We couldn't do this? These features weren't there at launch? Mm. Like, they're not adding anything particularly revolutionary here. What they're doing is bringing it up. That, in fact, this update isn't even bringing it up to the level of the Xbox 360. Let's be honest here. It's slowly, slowly growing towards a functionality that we're all quite used to.
Yeah, I mean, a battery indicator, managing storage and download queues, anyone trying to shout about adding them as features has really not got their finger on the pulse of what people expect in modern day tech.
Oh, keyboard support as well, don't forget.
Fantastic.
Yep. Exactly. But the real one, well, when I say real, the big update, or the update that is, let's say, more significant.
Can I just jump in there?
Yeah.
PC owners, we don't need keyboard updates.
Oh my god.
Standard.
Comes out of the box, doesn't
just,
it?
Just wanted to drop that in there, mate. Standard.
All right, fair enough. Do you have a decent party system as well on the PC?
Yeah, we're using one right now.
party chat, is that turned on by default?
Yeah.
Okay. You got your friends list.
Yeah, yeah. Good luck playing Titanfall and you pick. Oh, well, no.
All right.
nice.
Brilliant. So anyway, the update is coming, but sometime this week, they said.
Yeah, that update's coming sometime this week, and then they've got the one in March, which is just before Titanfall drops, which basically fixes or amends the party system, which many people think is worse than it was on the Xbox 360.
Interesting. How's it worse? Tell me, because I've not been hands-on with an Xbox One, and the party feature back in the day, I used to have fun with that. I thought that was great. Nice little feature when it worked.
Okay, so back on the 360, you know, pretty simple. You invite your friends to a party, whatnot, and then you all jump into a game together. You've got the same party chat, and you can all chat to each other in the background. The party system on the Xbox One is a little bit more automatic. It's a little bit more, we've taken care of this for you. It's kind of the theme with the whole Xbox One. You know, you can't see your storage, don't worry, we've taken care of that for you. You don't need to know how much space you have left. Party system, don't worry, we've taken care of it for you. You don't need to send out invites. As long as people are in your party, generally when you start a game, it will send an invite out to all of the people in your party regardless. So sending invites kind of isn't really a concept. It's just automatically, if I'm in a party with people in Call of Duty and I'm in Call of Duty and a game becomes available, an invite is automatically sent to me. But people can't seem to wrap their head around that. A lot of people they just want a button where they just click join session in progress, which doesn't exist at all really. At the moment, you can't just go down your friends list, which is an app which you have to go out to the dashboard to get into, and it's kind of slow. Right. So it's slow to get there. Then you can't just join their game in progress. You have to be in their party, and then you have to sort of wait for a little bit till the game decides that it wants to send you an invite, or that somebody else in the game sends you. Do you know what I mean? It's just confusing. So Microsoft have said that they're going to change the Friends app to make it sort of front and center on the homepage, and the social tile is going to be much more usable. Party chat isn't on by default. When you join a party, chat isn't just something that's enabled. You have to turn that on, which is just another step making it more confusing for people, so that's going to be changed. And they are just going to add in an invite to friends game option, which, hey, that probably should have been there.
Yeah, well, what's this stuff about stereo headsets and adapters and all that stuff coming? Is that not standard now? Is it, you've got to jump through hoops to make that work at the moment?
Stereo headsets, basically, there's like an adapter that you need for the Xbox One, which isn't just plugging your stereo headset. So they're getting an adapter for that. A lot of people haven't been able to use their Turtle Beaches and stuff, which this will help them do. There's still an issue with Dolby Digital not being supported on the system at all.
So what now?
No double digital. DTS, yes.
2014, right?
I hear you, man, but why aren't you using DTS? We're going to take care of that for
you. That's true.
but still, there's no reason to not have it, is there?
Yeah, it's not. Is that a licensing thing, or is that...
I couldn't tell
you. They've not said, of course they haven't.
I haven't, and this is the problem. Microsoft hadn't said a lot of anything, and I think that's the most of people's problem with them. You know, what is in this update exactly? Where are the patch notes for it? Can we see exactly what's in it? And besides, could you just deliver it when you say you're going to deliver it, or just simply update it? You know, it's a lot of smoke and mirrors. It seems like they're being awkward for the sake of being awkward. Now, I don't know whether that's just the internet has been pretty horrible with them recently, so they're just shutting up rather than making mistakes constantly. Who knows? But either way, these updates are a good thing, and hopefully they will shut people up.
And I guess by the time everyone listens to this, they should have it, in theory. So,
what date are we on? 3 days? Yeah, totally. Yeah, the first one should at least be done, yeah.
Good. All right, well, post in the thread, let us know what you thought of the big update.
Oh, have you seen the trailer for the Goat Simulator?
What?
I can't want a game any more than Goat Simulator.
Follow the link in the text box.
What are we simulating, man?
Goats.
Goats.
It's in the title.
Everyday goat activities.
It was never once thought, I know, I want to live the life of a goat.
My favourite part of the trailer is that bugs is one of their main selling points.
My favourite part is the music. This is amazing.
This is like Goat Theft Auto or something.
How is this goat climbing those stairs?
It's climbing up a ladder.
Consoles.
Yeah.
Yeah, look at it go.
We need this music in.
This can we use this as the intro music for this month?
Meh. Oh, he's got hit by a car.
Did someone just do that goat noise? Is that you, Steve?
Yeah. About as real as it gets, that.
As it goes up the ladder, its head bouncing off each step.
Do your goat noise again?
No, you missed it now. You'll have to go back and find it now.
Gross. It's uncanny.
Okay, that's ridiculous.
It's like being at the petting zoo. This could be this year's Minecraft or DayZ.
I don't think so.
Goat Simulator.
Pre-order now.
Goat Simulator, survival horror goat simulation experience.
How much would you pay to get in on the alpha of this?
I'd pay a tenner for that.
Probably not a lot.
You would not pay a tenner for that. That's so wrong.
If you think, though, if they sold it like Gary's Mod at like £6, I bet loads of people would buy that.
No, loads of people are going to buy this just because it's funny.
If it got a really high
people bought Gary's Mod and then never used it again, they will buy a game that is a goat climbing up a ladder chasing a guy with an axe.
If there was a noise that could represent facepalm, you'd be hearing it right now.
We have been talking about Flappy Bird, let's be honest.
Well,
does this look any worse?
You know what, probably not. When you put it like that, I suppose.
What would it have to have added to it for it to be suddenly pique your interest?
Guns.
That's an unlockable. That's an in-app purchase.
It would have to have a leveling up noise that goes, and then I'd be good.
I thought you were going to do a goat noise as well. There.
Have a class system with different types of goat.
Do a goat noise.
I don't know what a goat sounds like.
A bit like a sheep, I imagine.
Billy
goat. What was that? That sounded like Chewbacca.
There was a goat.
Oh, first comment on the story looks quite RAM intensive. Nice work. Game over.
Bravo. Fellas, we've been playing any games this month? Niall, I'll throw it to you.
I've been quite busy, and I'm going to be quite busy, I think.
Playing games?
Been
or
playing? Yeah. Well,
just in general.
Yeah, it's busy every day. But no, yeah, I've been playing Blackguards, which is an indie title on PC. Broken Age, which is Double Fine's big Kickstarter project type thing. There's a game I'm most excited about coming out on the 18th called Banished. It's a city building simulator made by one guy, and it looks absolutely amazing. If you haven't checked it out, you should, because it looks incredible.
Oh, I will.
And I think any sort of PC will run it as well, because I think the file is about 100 megabytes big. and the game is just ridiculously in depth.
Sorry, did you say it's only 100 meg?
Yeah, and I have no idea how.
Even you could download that.
I'd have that done in. I'd have it in less than a day. That'd be brilliant.
Less than a day, fantastic. Well, I mean, that's what PC gamers need after the shambles it was SimCity.
That's the main thing people have been saying. This could
It'd be nice to
kill off SimCity, and it's a project made by just one guy.
When's it out? Do you say?
The 18th.
Are you reviewing that for the site at all, or is that just for kicks?
I might review it. I'm not sure. Maybe.
Like twisting your arm into reviewing it.
Yeah, maybe a little bit.
Lovely. Steve, you been playing anything?
Yeah, I picked up Tomb Raider this month. The definitive edition came out on the Xbox One and the PS4 this month. Anyone who played the last one will already know that in the discussion from last month's podcast as well. Tomb Raider was a fantastic game last year when it came out. Now, though, it's been given the next-gen treatment, or the current-gen treatment, however you want to call it. The graphics have been whacked up. It's all about the hair and the glutes now. That's what it's all about. It's just sitting there watching her hair swing about. We know what we've been missing all these years on the PC now. It's sit there watching her swishing her hair. It's a bit like Batman's cape posing in Arkham City in Arkham Asylum. When that first came out, you just sit there and watch her swish her hair a little bit and just lose yourself in the environment. Because that game, it already looked good on the PS3, that game, and now it looks absolutely fantastic. The game in itself is still top quality, but now it's that with that extra bit of detail and the textures and the quality, it's ramped up so much more. It's an absolutely fantastic game.
Anything coming up, going forward?
I downloaded Outlast because that was free on the PS Plus scheme this month.
We were supposed to talk about this.
We may end up, didn't we, Steve?
Yeah, well, I say you played it in the middle of the day, so you've got to have a look at yourself here. I did it properly, night time, light off, headset on, moved the phone so I couldn't get distracted, and my God, that thing is scary. It's just the most scary thing I've ever played. And, I've played, just going back to, when to think, it's stupid, but when horror games first came out, Resident Evil, it's going back to that sort of things jumping out of you, bodies hanging upside down, jumping out from behind doors, people
naked. What was the Resident Evil where there was just that demonic character that would just suddenly burst through walls every now and then, chase you, and then disappear again?
I can't remember.
Is that not 3?
Maybe it was
Nemesis. That Nemesis?
Yeah, that sounds like it could be the one. And it was just a very intense 5 minutes every so often in the game that would just really sneak up at you and really kind of freak you out. And Outlast kind of reminded me of that. There's one section, I'm sure you remember the bit, chaps, where there's a guy kind of searching for you and you end up hiding under a bed and whatever. I don't want to give away spoilers and stuff, but it really reminded me of that and that kind of survival, right, real genuine survival instinct.
Yeah, definitely, because like you said, it goes to the point where it's a bit like Amnesia, where you have to hide, you can't defend yourself, and you've got the camcorder where you'd have the tough choice of being able to use your infrared so you can see in the dark, or you save your battery life and you can just see pitch black. There are sections in there that are constant 10 minutes pitch dark, you've not got a battery, you are absolutely screwed, you cannot see a thing, and there's naked dudes all over trying to chase you and kill you. There's just crazy guys with nine big machetes.
This is what I wanted to ask you. I'm racking my brain, Mark, I'll ask you as well. Can we think of any other occasion where we've had full frontal male nudity in a game like that?
GTA, I did last year. GTA, briefly. Yeah. Was it in the DLC? Was it the
Ballads of Gay Tony?
Right.
It was only briefly, but this is just, they're just stood there, fully naked.
I think it's something about the sort of first person nature of it that really. All right, well, let's change it to the first bit of full frontal male nudity in a first person game.
Big selling point.
They were pretty big as well.
Ridiculously big. It's nearly outsized the machete he was carrying. It was ridiculous. But yeah, that thing is terrifying. Mark, you have no chance of playing that in the dark. And not if the ghosts scare you in Mario, then it'll just end you. If this man flew close to ending you, that'll just.
Well, that's one of the reasons why that's why obviously I played it during the day.
Honestly though, I reckon that'd still scare you in the day. If you get absorbed in that, that'll still,
yeah,
you I'm, know it's pro-
I switched it to a smaller screen. I played it with the sound very low in the middle of the day.
And music still, glaring.
No. Headphones on, pitch black, turn all the lights off.
You know what? I've got flu. I've got a little bit of a dodgy tummy. I really don't want to soil myself. I'm sorry.
I wouldn't be at all surprised if that happened as well.
I genuinely did. When I was playing it, I actually stopped playing it and went into my wife and said, look, if you need me for anything, you turn that light on before tapping me.
I reckon that's going to shoot me up. Just like,
don't
Jesus.
You just tap me, because I won't be responsible if I lash out.
Turn round and just control to Ed.
Lay her out, yeah, exactly.
But yeah, that's something I've been looking at as well. Might do a little review of that as well.
It came
point.
To PS Plus, is that right?
Yep, free for PS Plus subscribers. You know, sort of in the ilk of Resogun and Don't Starve, every month we'll have a cheeky game like this.
Yeah. So if you're on PS4, no reason not to try this game.
Even if you haven't got PS Plus, I'd still buy this game. I'd tell anybody, as long as they could handle it, I'd say go buy it. But especially if you've got PS Plus, which most people will now, because you have to have the subscription to play online. So for free, you'd be stupid not to.
Is it the scariest game ever, do we think? Has it been worse?
It's the scariest game I've ever played, Jesus.
some of the scares are a bit cheap, you know, a bit kind
yeah,
of
I mean,
quiet,
it is
quiet
a bit, you
orchestra,
know.
Quiet, loud yeah. orchestra, you know.
But at the same time, it's old school scares, but until someone finds a new way to scare people in games, that's what it's going to boil down to. But it does work, you know, turning lights on, there's somebody right in your face or there's somebody right behind you. It still gets you. Still good.
My son playing Dungeon Keeper on the iPad with my credit card might be quite scary, but for very different reasons. Leon, have you been up to any gaming this month?
Yeah, but nothing particularly interesting. Shock Horror, Call of Duty, and Rocksmith. Those are basically the two games I've been killing for the last two months.
We were meant to talk about Rocksmith in our Game of the Year debate. Only really just to highlight it and highlight the, you know, the clever use of tech. We never got round to it. I think it's something I'm definitely going to pick up this year.
You should definitely pick it up. It is the quickest and best way to learn guitar.
Well, I used to be quite a keen guitarist back in the day, like many, many years ago. I haven't owned one for years. I mean, I got an acoustic here, but not owned an electric, and it's definitely one of my New Year resolutions that I'm going to pick one up this year.
Yeah, it's definitely good. I've been trying to play guitar on and off for like the last 5 years, I think, and this is definitely the furthest I've got. I actually feel like I am actually getting somewhere, and the sense of accomplishment. It's better than a clacky plastic instrument, let's say that. So yeah, I'm really, really enjoying it. And
do you remember
the
Rock Band and the Guitar Hero craze?
I do. I remember them fondly. I remember the
I
amount
love
of
that.
Yeah.
I literally had two guitars, the drum kit. I think it was even a microphone somewhere. It's just,
remember Rock Band parties? Do you ever have one of them?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Or SingStar parties.
SingStar might be the line for me, but Rock Band, yeah, definitely. I've got too much DLC. I'm probably ashamed of the amount of DLC that I've got for Rock Band, to be honest, and I can't bring myself to delete it either.
How much do you reckon you've spent over the years?
I literally do not want to know. I've got over 200 to 300 tracks.
What?
Jesus.
Yeah.
You'd pay £12 for like six songs as well, usually.
Oh,
so that's.
Oh no. Well, I've imported quite a few, so that's an accumulation of Rock Band 1, 2, 3, Green Day, Lego.
But they don't carry through into Rocksmith or anything like that. It's a separate thing,
no.
Right?
No, it's a completely different developer and stuff. And Rocksmith has got its own DLC store, which I'm now steadily working
doing it all
through.
Over again.
Yep. Haven't learnt my lesson at all. So, yeah.
Anything going forward? Anything to look forward to in the month ahead?
Apart from Titanfall.
Firmware
in
update.
Exactly a month's time.
Is that right?
Yeah, exactly a month's time, basically. We shall all be playing Titanfall.
Does it land on the 14th?
Something like that, yeah.
March 14th, I can see it right here.
We should be getting a beta at any point soon. I'm sitting here refreshing the Respawn Twitter page, as they are meant to be releasing details of their beta today. But
delayed.
There is nothing. What, the beta?
Well, everything.
I wouldn't be
Twitter
surprised.
Updates, updates.
To be honest. The
Does it land on PC at the same time as Xbox One? Or is...
I don't care. I'm joking. I think it does. Yeah, I think the Xbox 360 version has been pushed back to later in March.
I think it's just the end of March for some reason or another.
Yeah, but the PC and Xbox One are right at the beginning there, so yeah, definitely looking forward to that. I'll be hitting that hard when it comes out.
Yeah, 14th of March on the PC as well. That's good. That's good to know. Mark, have you been able to plough through your sickness and play anything?
Sickness usually drags me back to Skyrim, I'm afraid.
So, really?
Yeah, that's like my... like with Leon, with Call of Duty, Skyrim's like my kind of comfort blanket. I said that I'd try and finish it before the next gen lands. I didn't manage to do that. I've crawled past about 120 something hours in there, and I think I'm getting towards the end now.
You know, I stopped playing it simply because I built a new PC and I hadn't backed up my game. I'd sunk about 120 odd hours in, and I couldn't get my download off the cloud or anything like that, so I just basically lost it all. So I lost interest, never went back.
I got about an hour and a half into it.
Oh, don't start Leon on Skyrim.
Hang on, there are no guns in this.
Like, literally. Like, I was in it.
Magic guns. Right. Your arms are the guns.
The beginning of that magic game is awful, let's be honest.
Oh, the intro was completely Call of Duty inspired.
For forever. And then they give you a bow and arrow. It's like, oh. And then everyone wants to talk at you. It's like, oh.
God, they want to be social. Oh.
It's awful, awful.
I do have to say, some of the talking in it, does, if I worked out how much of that 120 hours was talking, and lines that didn't need to be said, there are so many kind of what sounds like, you know, kind of hammy actors trying to do their best, you know, showreel pitch or something, and long pauses between sentences, and you just think, I know what the end of this is. You're going to send me to a cave to try and find something.
There is a lot of lollygagging in that game.
You should download some of the mods if you think some of the original voice acting is bad.
What, there's voice mods as well?
No, there's I can't remember what mod I got. I think it's interesting NPCs or something, and it adds over like 200 NPCs, and some of them are fully voice acted with full backstories, and I swear some of them are in the sheds just doing it. It's terrible. And they're trying to put those Scandinavian accents on, and they sound like they're doing an Arnold Schwarzenegger impression. It's awful.
Oh, we should do one. We should just somehow inject
an heavy forums mod.
Yeah. Great.
A northern mod.
Yeah.
That's what we definitely need.
I need that to go fetch me somewhere to land.
Definitely would need to turn on subtitles in. So guys, that brings another podcast to an end. Thanks so much for your time. If you've enjoyed the podcast, please swing by iTunes and give us 12 thumbs up or whatever it is they do, and please give us your thoughts and feedback in the thread on the forum. We love to hear from you, even when you are moaning and telling us we're late or asking where it is, where the podcast is. Mark, thanks so much for joining me. You can disappear back off to your sick bed now.
I never left bed.
Ah, that's the beauty of Skype. Leon, thanks so much.
See you on Titanfall.
Yeah, Titanfall. Yeah, are we going to have a chance to play that before we record next? I'm not sure.
Beta?
We are.
Hello? Beta?
That's true. Too much legwork, mate. I can't be arsed with that.
I'm willing to do it. I'm F5 in this page as we speak.
Well, listen, I say that, and I'll probably be trying to buy a $3,000 iPhone with Titanfall beta. Noel, thanks so much for your time.
You're welcome.
And Steve, it's good to have you back.
Been a pleasure,
and we will see you all next month.
Well, can I just say, for a point of pedantry, a male goat is not a ram.
Meh.